Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Are you ready for your next winter adventure? Whether it's a stylish all-wheel drive SUV to get the family where they need to go, or an innovative EV to make the switch to electric, ChevyDriveChicago.com has you covered. With Equinox, Traverse, Silverado, Trax, and Trailblazer, you're sure to find the perfect Chevy to match your needs and lifestyle. But finding the right car is only part of the story. Winter weather is here, and your vehicle needs to be ready for anything. From oil changes and tire rotations to unexpected repairs, your local Chevy dealer is here to help. Their team of experts knows your vehicle, and they will make sure your car is safe, reliable, and ready to handle whatever the season brings. So why wait? Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today to find your local dealer, shop the latest vehicles, and schedule your service appointment. ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at NorthtownAuto.com.
All right, hopefully everybody had a great weekend. It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Hey, it's a Monday. I'm here, but we're not talking football. It's not a football Monday, unfortunately. I'd love for that to be the case. Went to a little card show this weekend. Saw a lot of people. Saw some of you out there. And so my son is really into collecting cards. I am, too, a little bit. You know, not as much as him now. I used to be. But it was really cool. It was packed. And saw a lot of people like, hey, man. Wish you were in New Orleans. I'm like, yeah, me too. Me too. I wish I was in New Orleans right now. I'd be on Radio Row right now doing this show. Not to be, though. Not to be. But we'll talk more about what's happening in New Orleans and what's going on in the NFL as the week goes on. It's always tough, right, to build up the Super Bowl when you're not there and you get so close once again. But we're not going to be talking about the Bills being there, obviously, and instead turning our attention to the offseason. We'll do a lot of that, but today is far different, for sure. I mean, today, there's no other place to start today than with what did not happen yesterday in the Sabres 4-3 victory over the New Jersey Devils. What did happen was the Sabres won 4-3, and they've now won three in a row, and that's great, even though they're still quite a bit, you know, back in any sort of race in the Eastern Conference, still in last place by several points. And it's nice to see them winning and playing better hockey. And they certainly are. And even before the three-game winning streak, they had a couple games out west where they played well, didn't win. But now, you know, they're getting the results, which is really nice. But what didn't happen yesterday was a response to Tage Thompson being leveled with a dirty hit to the head. Your best player. Coming up the center of the ice, coming back down the center of the ice, I should say, and getting leveled with a, would you call it an arm, a shoulder? How are we describing this exactly, Josh? Like, what did he elbow, shoulder? What do you think? What do you want to say how he hit him? He hit his arm. Guy, he raised the arm up, right?
Yeah, and I mean, Tage was down a little bit too, so definitely didn't
help things. But just try to describe it the right way. And I'm sure many of you and most of you have seen it by now. So Steven Nuisen, who plays for the New Jersey Devils, he is coming back. He wears number 11. He's coming back. Tage is coming towards the blue line, back towards his side of the ice to back check, basically, or in chase the play. And his head goes down to the puck. And then Nuisen, I mean, he's coming through. It didn't look like he lined him up from the red line, but once he got to him, he clearly raised up a little bit, hit Tage in the head. Tage lays on the ground. He's face down on the ice. Nuisen, who hit him, turns back and just starts skating up the ice as if he's going to go join into the play again. But the focus isn't on him. The focus is on all these Buffalo Sabres who are standing around and doing nothing about it. And there are several who are on the ice who could have done something about it. And you can see a couple looking around like, what happened? What happened? And that was the theme and the response in the locker room to the questions about it. I think Jason Zucker was saying like he didn't necessarily see it, which you could tell he kind of didn't. But you could tell what happened, right? You could see your best player laying on the ice with his helmet off, face down. There's a collision. There's got to be. You've been playing hockey your whole lives. You know that this is not a good situation. Someone hit him in the head. There's almost no possibility of anything else that happened. You have to go do something. You have to go grab somebody. Look, hockey has changed a lot over the years. Some of you would say for the worse. A lot of you would say for the better. We're not having these staged fights. We're not having these every time, you know, every game you get into, you're going to have 10, you know, 5-minute majors going on. Hockey has changed a lot. One of the things I don't like about the way it's changed is every time someone gets hit, somebody's got to go after somebody, like a clean hit. This is not that. This is not a clean hit. This is a hit that deserves someone to go get punched in the face. And if you're not going to punch someone in the face, go grab them. Go at least show that you can't have this happen. What happened? I don't know. I'm grabbing somebody because something happened. I'm going to go make sure that they know that I'm coming after you and I'm going to figure out what happened. There's been a lot of talk about the words after the game. By the way, I want to give some real good credit here to our buddy Brian Cozio, who hosts the Sabres postgame show, pregame, postgame, and intermission. I was actually out and about yesterday, which I'll talk about later. I was buying a new TV. I want to get into that. And I was out yesterday. I know. I got to tell you the story about buying a TV. It just triggered my mind to talk about that later. So I was out yesterday. We're buying a TV. And I'm like driving around. I'm literally looking for a parking spot. And I'm listening to Brian. I'm like, oh, I'm going to keep this on. It took me long to find a parking spot, but even longer because I wanted to hear Brian because he was great. Brian Cozio was on point. He was upset. He was mad. He was bringing it exactly how he needed to on the postgame show. And I don't want to reiterate the things he's saying, but I'm going to say the same things he's saying because he's right. It wasn't about the win. It was about the lack of response. And what happened was, the reason I'm bringing up Brian, he goes down to the room where Paul is. Paul is going to join me here, by the way, at 10:30 a.m. Paul is walking around the room, talking to players. He gets over to Mattias Samuelsson, who's the guy who really should have had more than anybody on the ice at the time. Out of the other four players, that's the guy who should be responding more than anybody. You have a letter on your jersey. You're maybe not the biggest dude in the world, but not some. He's not Tyler Ennis. You need to go do something. He doesn't do anything. He says to Paul later, it sounded like he regretted not doing something. He understands that. Well, it's too late now. And then Zucker, what bothered me about his comment of we won. Well, yeah, the response is we won. Yeah, you did win. And he's making it sound like, and some of the players, I guess, maybe he's not the only one, making it sound like, hey, and he said this basically, it's 4-2. we can't get into a situation where we're taking penalties. He says, if I go over there, I'm getting a 5, a 10 in a game, and I'm going to be out of the game, and I'm going to put myself, my team in a hole. Yep, you're probably right. That might happen. It's 4-2. Like, this is not a 4-3 game with 3 minutes left. It's 4-2 with 15 minutes left in the game. That, to me, sounds like, hey, we didn't do anything, but I want you to focus on the fact that we won. And I'll let you look at the shiny object over here so you're not criticizing what's happening over here. That's what that sounds like to me. I was confused by what Lindy said afterwards. I'm not exactly positive. It was a little odd. Like, there was maybe some mixed messages there from Lindy when he came on when he came out to his post game and talking about a response. And there's a time, and we'll even the score. I don't know what he meant by that necessarily. You're not playing him like again this year unless you make the playoffs and you play him. Paul said, and Paul's going to join me at 10:30. Like I said, and I'd like your calls on this, by the way. Like how hockey has changed in this regard. And if this really gets you upset about it, or not as much because, well, you're trying to win games and climb back into a playoff race, maybe I'm wrong. 803-0550 if you'd like to join in on that. I mean, yes, I am of an age, and a lot of you will relate to this, okay? I am of an age where we used to put on VHS tapes the best, most gruesome, bloodiest hockey fights ever. Remember NFL Crunch Course? They used to have the same thing. Crunch Course, right? They don't do those tapes anymore. The biggest, bone-crushing NFL hits ever.
We had a video for my generation. It was all the biggest NFL hits from one season queued up with the song, Here Comes the Boom. And that video has probably millions of views just from me alone. Me and my friends would watch that like almost daily when that video first came out. So every generation has its own thing, but I definitely understand what you're saying. It's like, just, you always want to see the big hits. You always want to see the big fights.
There's these, okay, this one is on VHS. Look at this. I'm going to show you, I'm showing Josh this. It's called Fantastic Hockey Fights. It's on VHS, right? And like, we used to go, I remember, I'm not even kidding when I say this. I went to a middle school dance once. That's a true story. I went to a middle school dance one time. And like, you know, people are dancing in the gymnasium. I'm in like eighth grade. And then you could also go into the cafeteria where they had some refreshments. And if you didn't want to go and dance and hang out. And in the cafeteria, they had those big rolling TVs. And they had the VHS in. And there's literally the Fantastic Hockey Fights on at the middle school dance for all the guys who wanted to go in there and just hang out and watch hockey fights. Because, you know, we were too embarrassed to go ask girls to dance. I don't know. Like, literally. So I'm of that age, right? So I'm of this age where, hey, that was incredible. Watch these guys fight. It's incredible. And it was, yeah. But then you grow up, you grow older, you play sports, you understand the ramifications of everything. We all have this concussion information now. And you learn and you understand that that's not what really you should be championing for, right? I get it. But hockey is still a sport that deserves and needs some policing on the ice because of these things. That doesn't mean that every time someone takes a hit, you have to go jump them and punch them. That's not what I'm saying. But in this case, it should have happened. And especially with this team who had this coach at the time. I know Jason Zucker, Matias Samuelson, and these guys were not here when Ryan Miller got run by Lucic. But it is fresh in our minds. You know why it's fresh in our minds still? Because that's the last time they made the playoffs. And a lot of us associate that hit and the lack of response at TD Garden, Boston Garden, whatever they're playing at the time, with Lucic on Miller and no response with the drought. Like, that's a defining moment for a lot of us for the drought when it started, really. So this, what happened yesterday, brings a lot of this back up front, like, exactly, it's almost like an example, an emblematic of what this team has been and why they are where they are. I'm not saying that's even right or fair, to be honest with you. There's been a lot of things and reasons why the Buffalo Sabres haven't made the playoffs for 14 straight seasons. It's not because Milan Lucic ran Ryan Miller, but we associate a lot of that with that night and that hit. And if you remember, I remember exactly what happened. I don't know if you guys do, but That was right before Thanksgiving. I'm sorry, that was in November. I believe they played November. I can't remember the exact date they played. But they didn't play long after that in Buffalo the night before Thanksgiving. And that was the whole buildup. Oh, next time they play, got to get Lucic, got to get Lucic. And you can go on YouTube and watch this. I do this sometimes because this is like one of those staged buildups, we got to respond things. You get to the night before Thanksgiving, always a big night at the arena. Bruins and Lucic come to town, and everybody's like, it's got to be Gostad, it's got to be Gostad, it's got to be Gostad. And sure enough, like a couple minutes into the game, over the boards comes Lucic. So over the boards comes Gostad, and you can hear the crowd. And they crescendo because they know what's about to happen. They line up. They both know. They have a couple words before the face-off. As soon as it's dropped, they drop the gloves. Willing combatants, and that's what you did. You're not even going to get that chance against the New Jersey Devils. You're not even going to get that chance against the New Jersey Devils. You don't play them the rest of the year. Your chance was when it was 4-2 with 14:50 remaining in the game when your star player got hit in the head on a dirty hit. We won the game. Yeah, you won the game. It's nice. You could have done both things. I mean, they still actually killed off power plays later in the game. 803-0550. Going to get into that. Also today, what I want to do, I'm going to do this in the 11 a.m. hour mostly, because I want to get to your calls on this, and give me a call. I got some open phone lines. A few of you are starting to call up now, and I appreciate that. 803-0550 is the phone number to call. What I want to do also later today, on the heels of Luka Doncic being traded at the age of 25 as one of the best players in the world to the LA Lakers for Anthony Davis and other parts, but those are the two guys, right? On the heels of that, I want to ask you and talk to you a little nostalgia today. We'll do this at the 11 o'clock hour more than now, but you know, you can feel free to get on if you want. Give me a trade in your life that stunned you in some sort of way. It can be your team. It can be emotionally. It crushed you. It elated you. Or from the outside looking in, you just could not believe that happened. From the compensation or just the player involved in any sport. I'd like to hear that today. I got a couple for you. Both, you know, for Buffalo teams, but also for just sports in general. We'll do that later. Let's get to the phone lines here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Monday. Let's go to Mike in West Seneca. Hi, Mike. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. Really appreciate it.
You got it, buddy.
So, first of all, I just want to start out by saying I absolutely agree that it should have been addressed immediately by somebody on the ice. And I'm almost wondering if Lindy, you know, addressed this internally. I have to believe, based on what comments Lindy has made in situations like these that have happened this year where he's responded that, hey, you know, I was really proud of what our players on the ice did. If he felt that this should have been addressed and approached his own players and told them so, but, you know, had a different message for the media with the idea of trying to protect his players. Because Lindy's not the type of guy, I don't think anyway, who's going to call out his players in the media and subject them to that additional scrutiny. So maybe it's possible that he addressed it in the room and didn't want to address it in the media. What do you think?
Very possible. Very possible. I understand that, and it's very possible that happened. I'm not sure. Maybe we'll find out at some point. We might never know if that happened, but it's very possible that was the case. More than anything with Lindy, I was just more confused on Lindy's comments. I'm not even criticizing his comments. It seemed like he kind of had two ways of talking about it, which is, like, you know, he was talking about the game and the situation, but then he's like, we're going to even the score. Like, I didn't know what he meant by that. So maybe I can get some clarity from Paul Hamilton when he comes on at 10:30. But no, I agree that he could very well have, you know, had a different message for them behind closed doors. Let's get to Bill in South Florida. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Sal. Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Just bringing up fights. You know, I'm listening to you. I'm old school. I remember a time, and you can probably look it up in the Buffalo Sabres archives, when I was at the game, Jimmy Schoenfeld hit Wayne Cashman so hard, they went into the boards where the Zamboni comes out, and they went right through the boards, the doors open, and they were fighting in the hallway right there where the Zamboni comes out. Yep. And that was just, that was incredible. Old school.
You can go watch it. By the way, you can go watch it again if you want. It's on YouTube. I'm watching it right now. I've watched it many times. You can go watch that. I don't know if you've seen it. I don't know if you've gone back and done this, Bill, but if you type in Jim Schoenfeld Cashman, here comes Schoenfeld, hits Cashman into the boards in the old odd where the Zamboni came out there in the far corner, and they just got both straight up and just started pounding on each other as they're standing there. And it's funny to watch this because the other guys pile in, but it's the security guys are all right there as well. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I was at that game. I remember it vividly.
I got you. I got you.
The other thing was, again, old school. When Gretzky got traded from Edmonton to L.A., that kind of just that broke my heart. I couldn't believe it.
Why did it break your heart? Why did you break your heart? Were you a Oilers fan or a Gretzky fan?
No, I'm not. I'm all Buffalo Sabres, but I always I relate Gretzky always to Edmonton.
For sure.
You know, that's old school.
No, no doubt. Me too, Bill. And I'm going to get into that. That was, if you remember, it was 8-8-88. And then I think the official trade was August 9th, actually, of 88. I was 15. I want to talk about that trade a little bit later. So thank you for the call, Bill. And I will do that because that is the one that I think is bigger than this one. But we're so far removed that I understand people not recognizing it as much when you read about it on social media or whatever. Michael in Buffalo. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Sal.
Go ahead, Mike. You're on the air, buddy.
Can you hear me?
Yep, you're on the air. Go ahead.
All right, hey. I just have a comment. My biggest problem with the Buffalo Sabres right now is they just don't have no heart. That's the way I see it. When your star player gets hit on the ice and no one does nothing, I mean, even after the next shift, someone could have did something. Not to the guy that hit them, but do something. Show some big deal they won the game. They're so far out of a playoff spot, who cares? Your season is done.
Yeah, that's
someone's back.
That's what Paul said.
Some heart.
That's what Paul said a little earlier. We're going to talk with Paul here in a little while. Thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Drew in Lockport. Hi, Drew. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hi, Sal. Thanks for the call.
I just wanted
to reiterate, I agree with what Michael said. You know, you're not supposed to go after somebody's captain, and you're not supposed to go after somebody's star player. And if you do, the entire team should be upset about it and address it immediately. There, like you said, the game really didn't mean as much as the lack of respect for your captain and the lack of respect for the whole team, in my mind. I think there's some issues behind the scenes that are disrupting the play on the ice. And that's why our team is not doing well. Simple as that.
You got it, man. You know what you remind me of when you say that, Drew, is if you remember, obviously I'm sure a lot of you remember the Sabres Senators brawl, right? Chris Drury gets hit. But you remember because it's Biron and Emery and all that stuff that went along with it. And if you remember that particular play, what happened, how it started and how it developed – when Neil hits Drury and everybody then, there's the big brawl that starts happening and Lindy walks down the bench and he gets into between the benches and Rob's right there and you hear the mic. The mic wasn't killed yet and he's yelling at the Senators coach, name escapes me now, who Lindy used to work for in Florida. But anyway, and he says right to him, you could hear this, don't go after our captain. Go after Peters. Don't go after our bleeping captain. He says it. You know what I'm talking about, Josh? You can hear him say that.
Do I know what you're talking about? That's a core memory for me. That's like one of the first ever Sabres games I can like vividly remember. That game is, the memory of that is just seared into my brain. Like that was such a defining moment for Sabres fans, like that season. Because that was the President's Trophy winning season. And that was a big game against Ottawa. I mean, you're fighting against Ottawa in the standings all year long, you end up fighting them in the playoffs too. So it's like that moment right there is kind of almost what you maybe wanted to see yesterday. Maybe not to that extent.
But here's the difference between then and now, though. You didn't have Peters and Coletta to send over the boards.
Right, right.
But they don't have those guys either. Like, that's the difference in the NHL today, too, to a large degree, right? Mm-hmm. But somebody on the ice, you don't have to have these big, you don't have to have Rob Reyes and Andrew Peters and Patrick Coletta's and John Scott's on the ice. Nobody builds their team like that anymore.
Well, think about like a guy like Zach Benson.
You still have to go out there and somebody's got to do it. Right. I don't care.
But think about a guy like Zach Benson. He goes after people all the time. Jeff Skinner used to do it too. It didn't matter that they were smaller. It didn't matter that they weren't considered fighters, if you want to look at it that way. But like, it just mattered that they went after people for their teammates.
Yeah. Murray was the coach back then. Right? That's what I'm trying to remember for the Ottawa Senators. All right, let's go to Mark in Buffalo. Hi, Mark. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Very disheartening to see that happen again. I go way back. I've been a Sabre fan my whole life. Jill Parole, the spin of the wheel. Rick Vive got hit in the back of the head, and Christian Ruttu stood there and watched it. Nobody did anything. Ryan Miller got run over. I know everybody said it. Nobody did nothing. And it goes back to the heart of the team. I know the game has changed. Nobody clears the front of the net. They let them do everything. But I don't know how this can happen and nobody does nothing. That's why they haven't made the playoffs in all these years. Ted Nolan would have never let that happen. We just celebrated a guy, and I know it's changed. You've said that 100 times. I can't believe Rob Ray didn't come out of the booth and go over the glass and try and go after that guy. That would never happen with those guys. That should never happen. I don't care if a guy takes his stick, wraps it around the guy's head that did it, and he's suspended for a year. The team should pay his fine. You cannot do that to your star player. Take care, Sal.
Mark's fired up. I love it, Mark. Listen, if you went to Rob Ray night the other night, I was there. It was a great ceremony. There was a point in the game. Tage got hit. There was something that happened. I didn't see it myself, but I know Tage was involved. And the crowd started chanting, "We want Ray. We want Ray." It was a great moment on Friday night when that happened. Also, he's right. I mean, there are certain players who just would never let that happen. The game has changed. The players are different. But you grew up playing hockey your whole life if you're playing in the NHL. And if you're playing for the Buffalo Sabres on a Sunday afternoon at KeyBank Center, you've been playing hockey your whole life and you understand how these unwritten rules are written. And what bothers me about exactly what Bill just said when he called up, Rob Ray literally said this to the team apparently the other day about having your team's back and loyalty and making sure you watch out for one another. All right, let's go to Mike. Might have a different take on this. Hi, Mike. Go ahead. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Yeah, I do have a different take. Retribution against the guy that hit the dirty hit doesn't work. I mean, I get everyone gets all excited and everything, but nobody gets hurt in hockey fights. I mean, if you want to take care of this and stop it from happening, the guy that made the dirty hit, you've got to do something that ends his season, ends him for a bunch of games, make him know that if he does this again, you are going to take care of him. Dropping your gloves. I mean, the whole Gostad, Ryan Miller situation. Gostad goes out there the next game and fights Lucic. He got killed.
He lost the fight.
He did. I mean, what good does it do to go out there and fight a guy? Oh, I'm going to send a message. There's no message that you're sending. I played college hockey. I've watched hockey for 60 years. I know what it takes to make somebody stop doing these kind of things. And it's fear of having your career ended. It's not fear of having to fight somebody. And until somebody, and like the last guy said, if you wrap your stick around the guy's head and you take a suspension for it, but that guy knows the next time that he does something like this that, you know what, my career may end. You know, a Marchand does something dirty, break his ankle.
Well, come on. I'm not going to go there. The reason why you grab somebody, and it doesn't even have to be punching them. I wanted somebody just to grab somebody, throw them down, do something. It's, hey, to me, and I could be wrong on this, I'll ask Paul. No, it's not about killing somebody with a stick and hit them in the head. Nobody's advocating for that, breaking an ankle. What are we doing, right? No, the reason why fighting, you're right. Fighting doesn't necessarily send a message of like when you see Gostad and Lucic. But what it does is say, hey, you're in for something here, right? You're gonna have to answer for it and drop the gloves, and maybe that player doesn't want to do it Maybe they're not very good at it. Maybe they're smaller, whatever. Some cases, Lucic, I'm sure he doesn't care about fighting anyone. If you actually watch that Gostad-Lucic fight, I don't think Lucic wanted to fight Gostad. He knew he could take him, but it's like, oh man, I got to do this, right? Either way, I'm not advocating for that. I think you're wrong about that. We'll take a timeout. When we come back here, we will have Paul Hamilton, and he will talk about what he heard from the players. We'll get to your phone calls as well, 803-0550. And as we go on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show today, we're going to get to some of the trades in your life that stunned you, that you loved, that you hated, that something was unbelievable for you about it in some good or bad way or just shock. We'll do that as well today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you.
Our response is we won. He can hit me from behind. We scored a goal. So, I mean, he made two plays that cost their team a win. We'll take that all day. I mean, we can talk about responding, but you're not going to go do something that's going to cost our team a win when you don't know what happened. So I could have dropped my gloves and go try to fight someone, but I'm going to get a 2, a 5, and a 10 for instigating. I'm going to get kicked out of the game. If I respond differently after he hits me after my goal, I'm going to take a penalty, and that's going to cost us possibly. So a lot of the time, the best response is to not do anything. You know, I think it's a little bit different on the Tomer hit. I don't think anyone had a clear view of it. Talking to guys that weren't playing said even the broadcast didn't really catch it till late. You know, so it's easy to say there was no response, but personally, I disagree with that.
Well, I'm going to disagree with Jason Zucker there. Before I bring on Paul Hamilton, and Paul's going to join us here in just a moment. I've said it earlier today, I'm going to say it again. I understand what he's saying. I disagree because there's no guarantee you're losing the game. You're up 4-2. You all actually killed off power plays later. Well, I'm going to get thrown out, and the win is more important. You could still, both things can happen. You could still address the situation and win the game. That doesn't, just because you address it doesn't mean you're about to, we have to lose now, guys. That's not how it works. But that's what Jason Zucker said after the non-response on the Tage Thompson hit. He was in the locker room after the game, obviously. Our Paul Hamilton was there. He joins me on the Wester Hotline right now. Brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Thinking about today and planning for tomorrow. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Paul, am I wrong? Like, you can have both things happen. You can address it, and it doesn't mean you have to lose the game. You're up 4-2.
Yeah, and I have all the respect in the world for Jason Zucker. I think he's been great for their locker room and everything, but I too disagree with it. I totally disagree with him as far as, especially in the situation that they're in. I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs. They aren't going to leapfrog 8 teams, and what are they, 14 points down, I believe, right now. They're not going to make all that up. 8 teams aren't going to go in the tank for them. It's just, so to me, the win means nothing. If you're 2 points out of a playoff spot, yeah, you got to win the hockey game. So, you know, you don't send Dennis Gilbert out to go tackle Jack Hughes and or whatever Lindy had in mind as, you know, they were going to respond once the game was in hand. So I get it. If you have to have the game and you have to have the 2 points, I totally understand. But to me, you're just right now, you're in a position where just do it. And what Jason Zucker also said there was his back was to the incident, and it was.
Yes.
Because when he turned around, you could tell by his body language, it was like, what's going on here?
Yep. Yeah, he even did kind of shrug his shoulders, like, what just happened?
Yes, he did.
That's true, yes.
But there also was a guy, and I don't know who it was, I couldn't pick up his number as I looked at the replay, who was looking dead straight at it. And I don't care if it's in your nature or not. I know it's not in Kulik's nature to fight. I know it's not in Owen Power's nature to fight. I know it's not in Samuelson's nature to fight. But there have to be times where you are willing to defend a teammate. And maybe you just start a 5-on-5 brawl if you have to. One of you got him. If everybody grabs a guy and goes, one of you has him, even if you don't know who did it, you know. But it just they're just neat. I know everybody on the ice didn't not see it, so you know, there has to be a response to that. And Matias Samuelson, talking last night on the post game show, admitted he regretted the way he handled that, and said that he needs to handle that better. There absolutely has to be a response, and he was part of it that wasn't. And he said he needed to take some responsibility for that. And he said there needs to be a response afterwards to that, and he took responsibility for it. And even Darlene, who wasn't on the ice, but I asked him as captain his reaction, and he did say, he goes, I wasn't on the ice. I don't know who saw what, but he says there has to be a response. And he says we need to work on that, and he did say that cannot happen again.
The other players on the ice were Kulik, who was in the corner. He was in the offensive zone. He clearly was. It looks to me like he's looking right at it. This is a rookie. I understand.
He might have been the guy looking at it.
Yeah.
Because I know there was a guy who was on the other side of the play that was staring straight at it.
That was Jiří Kulik. And then you had Zucker, who clearly we could tell was not looking at it. Looked to me like Samuelson saw it. I'm not really sure, but from the angle, it looks like you could make that inference. And then Owen Power was way behind the plate. Those were the four guys on the ice. Okay, you talk with Samuelson after. Lindy Ruff also talked after. I was a bit confused. Maybe you can help clarify his comments. It sounded like he said he was defending his players about, no, like you can't, in that part of the game, you can't do that. But then he also said, we will even the score. I didn't understand the contradictory terms of that.
No, it wasn't contradictory. What he was saying is they wanted to get the game in hand.
Okay.
And if they would have gotten it to the point where maybe the empty net goal to make it, a two-goal advantage, he said we were going to retaliate, and I imagine Dennis Gilbert was going to be the guy that was going to go out there. Was there a specific player in mind? That I don't know. He eventually said, he goes, just go grab somebody. I mean, if he decided we're going to retaliate now, it doesn't matter that the guy who did it was out of the game. He goes, go grab somebody, anybody. So that I think was his mindset, but he wanted to have the game in hand and, have your 2 points before he did that.
Paul Hamilton on the West Her Hotline. All right, what else about this? I think, Paul, I think it hits different here. And I said this earlier because of what happened with Miller and Lucic. And I understand it's 13 years ago. It's the last time they made the playoffs. But I think a lot of people associate, for right or wrong or fair or not, I get it. But a lot of people associate that hit in that moment with this team and where they are now. And I think that's what's bringing out a lot of this. And I'm not telling you that Owen Power should know about that or Matias Samuelson should know about that. They weren't a part of the Buffalo Sabres. Lindy Ruff was. He was coaching the team at the time. But that's, I think, part of the anger of Sabres fans because of what happened in that game. The difference, though, Paul, is they played a week or so later, and we all knew Gostad was going to fight Lucic, and it happened. It was here the night before Thanksgiving. They don't even play the New Jersey Devils the rest of the year.
Yeah, no, they don't. And even if Owen Power, and they have a resource right here who they all have access to. If Owen Power walked up to Rob Ray and said, could you teach me how to defend myself? And so when a situation, not so that he becomes a brawler, but when a situation pops up like this to defend a teammate, he's ready, and he's not going to get hurt, and he knows how to defend himself. And I don't know. I'm not Rob Ray, but I would think Rob Ray would be more than happy to help him out and show him some things so he could at least defend himself if he's got to defend a teammate. That's all people are asking. They're not asking Owen Power to go out and fight every other game. But, same thing with Jiří Kulik. Don't be embarrassed that you didn't go and defend a teammate and then take all this criticism and everything. Be part of the team. And if Owen Power shows up for a teammate, can you imagine what that does in the locker room and how proud those players are of Owen Power to be there to defend his teammate and to stick up for a guy? But, use the resource that's right there. One of the best ever to do it is there every game, every road trip. Ask questions. Have him help you. I don't think Rob, maybe he would, but I don't think Rob Ray would say no if a player asked him. I know when Zadorov was here, he asked Brad May and Rob. They were more than happy to help him. And so, use the resources that you have here. And Sal, what the shame about this is? Here we are, rightfully so, talking about this. And they've played six pretty good games in a row now.
That's right.
And they've won four of them. And they didn't crumble and lose this hockey game, even after they gave up the shorthanded goal, when it was looking like, uh-oh, here we go again, 4-1 lead, and they're going to blow it. No, they didn't. You know what they did? They took two penalties, which is in their MO, but they did a great job of killing those penalties, and then got the game, as Bulldog would say, into the garage by playing, competing and playing very well once that five-minute power play was over. So there are a lot of good things to talk about. There's a lot of great saves that Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen made in that game to hold them in it, to make sure that they didn't lose their game. The way they came out in the first period, skating, like flipping the script on the Devils. The Devils beat the Sabres in the beginning of the year because Sabres couldn't handle their speed. Well, the Devils couldn't handle the Sabres' speed when they went flying out to the lead in the first period. I mean, so, and that's the unfortunate thing, is we're not talking about this, the good stuff that we're seeing them improve now as a team, and talking about that because something like this happens.
Yeah, so they're looking for four games in a row. They have yet to four wins. They've yet to win four games in a row. The Columbus Blue Jackets come to town tomorrow night. That's a 7 p.m. start downtown. Today, interestingly, and just got an alert a little while ago, as you know, there will be no practice or media availability today.
I know,
is
I
this
turn
normal?
Around and come home.
Yeah,
I was going to talk to you from the arena, and
okay.
I was about halfway there and got that, and I said, "Nope, I'm talking to Sal from home."
Is this anything to do with what happened yesterday? You think not making players available, or is this kind of normal protocol?
It's possible, but this is maybe the fourth time that's happened this year.
Okay,
where I'm on my way. One time I was actually there. I had just pulled in, and Lindy, he did that back when the first time he was here. He doesn't mind bringing the players to the rink, getting them there. He might do a little film with them or just chat with them or go over a few things with them and then kind of reward, just, you know, because they have won four of their last six and they have a game tomorrow. So they're, you know, they've been playing a lot and just say, go on home. You know, I saw him do that the first time he was coach too. So it's not something that he doesn't do. Is it about last night? I don't know. It could be. I'm not in Lindy Ruff's meetings with his coaching staff. But it's not like this is the first time this happened. He has done that this year and in the past, too.
Just so everybody is aware, tomorrow morning, Jeremy and Joe, they are scheduled to talk to Lindy for his biweekly, I guess, every other week. I think that's right. Radio appearance.
Well, somebody talks, either Lindy or a player,
somebody,
or
yeah.
Seth Appert, every week.
That's right. That's right. Well, last week though,
it was Alex Tuck.
That's right.
But
so
Lindy or Seth Appert or a player will talk every week.
So we'll see if they get him tomorrow. Okay. I have to ask you, how is Tage? I know that Lindy spoke about him, and maybe this also, like, I wonder. And you won't know this until you talk to him, Paul. I wonder what Tage feels about all of this, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I would wonder how he felt about it, too. Maybe he doesn't know what went on around him. I mean, I don't know if he had his faculties or whatever. Now, Lindy Ruff did say afterwards he passed all the tests and does not have a concussion. He said he is available to practice, but he did say, I may hold him out. If I was the coach, I probably would have held him out, too. There's no need for Tage Thompson to practice when you get a hit like that. Make sure he's okay. Give him the day off. You have a game tomorrow. He'll be ready to play. It's not like Tage Thompson's not going to be ready to play tomorrow if he doesn't practice today. So, but he did say he is available to practice today if Lindy chooses to put him on the ice, and he has chosen.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Not to.
All right, Paul, we'll be looking forward to your reports at PHAM 1717, of course, WGR 550.com. great job last night and into today. Really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, no problem. Sorry there are no pucks in the background pounded off the boards. I know we like the sound effects.
I love
but
it.
And we were gonna have it, but not today.
No, that's okay. Be safe out there. Thanks, buddy.
Okay,
all right, you got it. Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline right there. Sabres back in action tomorrow night against the Columbus Blue Jackets, looking for their fourth win in a row for the first time this season. All right, I want to take your calls on trades as well. We had this monster, massive, unbelievable, really, Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis trade in the NBA. And when it came over, I'll kind of tell you how I learned about it. I want to also piggyback that on other trades throughout history that really kind of stunned you, made you feel unbelievably great, or really crushed you as well. When you were a kid, when you were older, it doesn't matter. Got a lot on that as well. In the meantime, hey, are you interested in going to Italy with me? You need to go to Italy. You want to come? Josh, you need to come to Italy with me. All right, we're doing this whole Italy trip. All right, you've heard the promos for it. You heard me talking about it. I'm telling you right now. All right, all you got to do is go to WGR550.com. Look for Iconic Italy with Sal Capaccio. It's going to be amazing. We're going in July. This is not like a giveaway. Oh, to enter a sweepstakes. This is literally like a great, great deal. Price-wise, everything's going to be taken care of for you. Travel brilliant. Colette Travel going. My family's going with me. Me, my wife, my son, we're going. We already have quite a bit of people signed up. But you got to sign up by February 20th, and there are limited spots available. 10 days, all these different cities, travel done for you. It is all baked in, and we're talking your flight over there, every city we go to, I mean, from door to door, your luggage. It's going to be amazing. So check it out. I want to see you there. I hope there's going to be a lot of Bills fans going on the trip. We're going to have a great time. And I'm even trying to meet up with some Bills fans in Italy from the Bills Backers Club, so that'll be cool as well. But anyway, head over to WGR550.com. Check it out. And if you can't find it, just type in Iconic Italy with Sal Capaccio, and it's right there. We'll take a timeout here. We'll be back on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Want to get your calls on trades. Start loading them up. We'll do that at the 11 o'clock hour. All right. So this is what we're going to do now, right? We're going to take a timeout here. We went long with Paul, so we needed to really talk about what happened yesterday. So my apologies for getting right back to the break. We got to do that. And then we're going to have a whole half hour for you to call. No guest, just me and you. I want to talk to you about trades. Tell me a trade. Give me a trade in your life that you were like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Yes. Oh my God, I can't believe it. No. Give me one that crushed you or elated you or you were just stunned by, whether it's your team and player or it was something else you just watched from afar. This whole Luka AD thing, it's been very interesting watching it play out on social media, which was not the case back when I was growing up. And there were some really interesting trades that I want to talk about with you. Plus, I bought a TV this weekend, and the experience was interesting. I'll get into that when you come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I think the Zucker one was, I mean, the guy, Zucks is about to put in an open net. He just pushed them from behind. I don't think that was anything malicious. But, yeah, they got a lot of physical guys, a lot of guys that won't try to, step up and make some big hits. You know, that's part of their kind of identity of the team. I don't think every time there's a big hit there should be a fight in the NHL. But I do think, Tomas was dirty and there should have been an answer.
Yeah, I agree. But Matthias Samuelsson didn't have the answer. And he also said that he, should have done something. In a manner of speaking.
Sal, sorry to cut in.
Yeah, go ahead.
Breaking news from Adam Schefter. Myles Garrett has requested a trade.
Wow. Okay.
He has released a statement ending it by saying, with that in mind, I have requested a trade from the Cleveland Browns. Basically, the statement is him going on about how he wants to win a Super Bowl. He's been trying to do that since he was a kid, yada, yada, all that stuff.
In bold letters at the bottom. With that in mind, I have requested to be traded from the Cleveland Browns. It does not get any more clear than that when you literally post it from yourself on social media that you are requesting a trade from the Cleveland Browns. Okay. Speaking of trades, I love it. What a great segue. Thank you, Myles Garrett, for having this segue into this trade discussion. By the way, what are you giving up for Myles Garrett? What is the most you give up for Myles Garrett if you're the Buffalo Bills? Two number ones, you do it?
Yeah, I'd do it. He's Myles Garrett. Like, he's an incredible talent, and he's a talent you need.
And he also, by the way, hold on, I'm just going to look at his contract. I love both Over the Cap and Spot Track, and Spot Track is our guy, Mike Gennetti, but I go to both. So right now I'm at Over the Cap. His base salary is only $1.2 million next year. They've already taken care of the guarantees here. 1.3. I mean, this is like the money wise, you got it. Yeah, you'd have to. I would think that would be what a team would be on the hook for. Other bonuses, $3 million. So maybe, I mean, I guess you could have up to $4, $5 million still. Nothing. The next year would be like $10 million. Great. Looks like that would be his cap number for the trading team. He is going to be 30 years old this year. Still in his 20s right now, going to be 30 years old. Well, actually, when is his birthday? Doesn't matter. It's a 30-year-old year next year. And that is not super old for a pass rusher. Not at all. Oh, my God. Go do it. Go do it, Brandon Bean. Go do it. Just threw me for a loop. This whole thing. I love that breaking news coming in. Adam Schefter and others. Myles Garrett has requested a trade. Here is his statement. I'm going to read it to everybody real quick. It reminds me of LeBron when he left. He left Cleveland. Not trying to laugh, but it's kind of the funny, like, because he's, telling Cleveland, hey, thanks. He says, as a kid dreaming of the NFL, all I focused on was the ultimate goal of winning a Super Bowl. And that goal fuels me today more than ever. My love for the community of Northeast Ohio and the incredible fan base of the Cleveland Browns has made this one of the toughest decisions of my life. These past 8 years have shaped me into the man that I am today. While I've loved calling this city my home, my desire to win and compete on the biggest stages won't allow me to be complacent. The goal was never to go from Cleveland to Canton. It has always been to compete for and win a Super Bowl. With that in mind, I have requested to be traded from the Cleveland Browns. Myles Garrett with his signature. There you go. All right, what are you giving up for Myles Garrett? How cool would that be? How excited would you be? I'm sure people would be mad that they gave up too much because that's what happens sometimes in trades, which takes me back to thinking about this Luka AD trade. There was a very, very big debate in 1987 when the Bills traded for Cornelius Bennett. It happened on Halloween night. Bills, I'm 14 years old. The Bills trade for Cornelius Bennett. He could not sign a deal. He's like, what, number two overall pick, number three overall pick in the NFL draft. Could not come to a deal with the Indianapolis Colts. The Bills, coming off Jim Kelly being there, a four-win season, starting to try and build something. They were okay in the start of 87. They weren't great. They make this deal, and they give up two number ones, a number two, Greg Bell, 1,000-yard rusher, and there were a lot of people who said, how do you do this for a linebacker? Like, how can you give up all that for a linebacker? Huge debate. I mean, I'm 14. I'm like, oh, my God, they got this great guy. But, yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know. I'm not in the nuance of the draft enough maybe at that time to understand the, you know, complete weight of what they gave up. But I knew it was a lot, obviously. I remember listening to radio shows, listening to WBEN, I think, at the time, where there was a couple sports shows. Murph was on one. And there were a lot of people saying, hosts and fans, they give up too much. It's a linebacker. What are you doing? I think we look back now and say one of the greatest trades in NFL history, the Bills getting Cornelius Bennett in 1987. It helped them go to four straight Super Bowls, obviously a great player in their organization for many years. I remember that trade. And then just less than a year later, I saw a lot on social yesterday about, oh my God, this is the biggest trade like in history with a player of this caliber, of Doncic at his age. Not for me. Now, a lot of you listening will not remember, not know. Wayne Gretzky was traded at the age of 27 as the best player on the planet in the prime of his career. And I remember that day. And I believe if I remember how I learned of it, kids, we didn't have internet at the time. There was no such thing as internet. There was no Twitter. There was no social media. There literally was no internet for people to get on and read. I think I did have this thing called Prodigy. I shouldn't say that. There was this first internet called Prodigy that I was on, and I'd read like football articles. But it wasn't like today. Nothing like that at all. Okay? I think Prodigy even happened a couple years later, to be honest with you. I think it was 1990 or 91 I first hopped on something like that. Beep, burp, right? All that noise. And then AOL came along. But anyway, so there's no internet. I believe, Josh, I heard Gretzky was getting traded watching CNN Sports Tonight with Nick Charles and Fred Hickman. I think I remember that. They were my guys. Like, SportsCenter was great, but like Fred Hickman and Nick Charles were awesome on CNN Sports Tonight. And they always did the highlights. They ran through the nightly highlights of every game. It was great because this isn't like where you just go to your computer and watch highlights. The only way you got highlights of games was by watching these shows, SportsCenter, Sports Tonight, all these shows. And I remember that night, I think this was the first I heard of it, but I do remember them saying, "This baby affected continents." I remember that line. Like, this baby was an earth shaker. And it was. And here's Gretzky. Like, oh my God, you grow up. Gretzky's the greatest player in the world. He's the greatest player on the planet. Every kid wanted to be Gretzky, 99. And he's coming off these incredible, not only like the records he was setting. You ever go to Wayne Gretzky's reference page? Holy cow. Go do it and look at all the bolded numbers.
Not even just his reference page. Right. Look at his elite prospects page where he goes in the younger years when he was a kid. He's got like 300 points in like 40 games as a 12-year-old.
Okay.
Like, imagine having to do homework and then, oh man, I got to go play Wayne Gretzky now.
He got traded coming off a 149-point season at the age of 27. The year before that, 183. The year before that, 215. Are you kidding me? Right? So he gets traded. And anyway, this is before internet. I get like the Luka AD trade. Unbelievable. I woke up the other day. When I woke up to it, I saw it. I thought it was literally Shams was hacked. I thought it was not real. I had to keep going. Am I reading this right? Is this true?
I was up when it was happening because I was binging a TV show. And I was looking at Twitter, and everyone was saying the same thing of like, "What? Just no, this can't be real, right?" Like, and I'm looking at it like, "Why would Dallas do that? Like, what are they thinking?"
Well, either way, whether you think that they should have or shouldn't, or who won or lost the trade, just the magnitude of it happening. That was a year after the Bennett trade, so you get Cornelius Bennett in '87, Wayne Gretzky in '88, And it was 8888, I think it was agreed to. It was 8988, I think it was officially announced, to be honest with you. Go watch some documentaries on it. There's a lot of stuff in there. I'm not even here for that. I just mean like the actual reaction to it. The difference was the other night, the other day, when we hear about the trade that goes down between LA and Dallas, it's like immediately you go and search for people talking about it online, on the internet, and these videos, and, you know, where's my NBA insiders, right? Where's Shams talking about it? And Brian Windhorst, right? Like, whoever it is. Like, I want to hear from these people. We didn't have that back then. So the gravity of a trade like that, you had to kind of search it out. You read the newspaper, and the next day, that was one for me. I'll go back, though, and I want to get your thoughts on this at 803-0550. I'll go back way before that. The trades that impacted me. I remember when the Sabres made a big trade with the Detroit Red Wings that involved Jim Schoenfeld and Danny Gare. And that was a really, really big deal for me. And Don Luce, I think, but I have to remember exactly who it was. I'll go back and look at it. But like, I was super sad when this trade was made. They actually had a couple really interesting trades with the Red Wings in the 80s. But I remember that being sad, and guys that I, you know, really loved growing up in my, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old years, and they were gone. Reminds me of when I had to prepare my son for Jack Eichel getting traded. He had 3 Eichel jerseys, essentially. And it's like, he was the guy, right? He comes in, yeah, I got to buy him jerseys. He's going to root for the team. They're going to be good again. And then I had to keep preparing him for like a month. Hey, Max, they're going to trade Eichel soon. Hey, they're going to trade Eichel soon. So when it happened, it wasn't as much of a shock. We didn't have that as much going on back then. It was more like, bam, it happened. It's right in front of you. And you react to it.
It's like when Drury and Briere left. I mean, that was
Knew they were going to be free agents.
There was always a chance
that was coming on the horizon.
There was like a week lead up of like, yeah, they're probably not coming back. But it was like all of a sudden out of nowhere, you kind of assumed, hey, they'll figure it out. It'll be fine. And then there it was.
Yeah. But when you have a trade like this magnitude that we had the other night, that there was nothing that even got out there. Nothing. Nobody knew anything. That was wild to even keep it under wraps. Let's go to Rob in Connecticut. Hi, Rob. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you. And also, I wanted to say thank you very much for covering the Buffalo Bills this year. You did a great job.
Thank you.
I was laying here thinking you just hit the nail right on the head. I just, you know, first off, I just turned 60 on Saturday. So back when I was like 10 or 11, they traded Bobby Orr, and yes, I was a huge Boston Bruins fan back in the day with Esposito and Bobby Orr and Wayne Cashman and all those. But when they traded Bobby Orr, I was crushed as a kid, and that's when I stopped watching the Boston Bruins. It ripped my heart out because, I mean, he still to this day is my favorite hockey player of all time. And when he went to the Chicago Blackhawks, it was like devastating. So it was like it ruined it for me for a little bit, you know. And just hearing you talk about Wayne Gretzky, he went to the Los Angeles Kings. It was nuts. And I'm living here in Connecticut, and we had the New Haven Nighthawks, which was the farm team of the Kings. So they always like were anticipating, hey, maybe if he gets hurt, he can come and play here. So everybody was always looking forward to seeing Gretzky, you know. And even Mark Messier when he went to the Rangers. So trades they can be devastating and crushing. But as a child, Bobby Orr, I was crushed. I was definitely crushed. Thank you very much. You're always great.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Rob. Good perspective. Yeah, for sure. I got to remember the timeline. I do also remember when the Bills traded Joe Ferguson, their quarterback. I was in line in school one morning, ready to walk into like Cleveland Hill Middle School, basically, and my buddy Kevin comes up and goes, the Bills traded Fergie yesterday. And that was like during the draft when the draft was in a daytime thing. It was a draft day trade. They traded Joe Ferguson. I remember that as well. I'm too young to remember when OJ was traded, but I know that was a big deal, and it was a little different, obviously, at the time for where he was in his career, maybe, but towards the end. But I was too young for that. All right, let's get to Frank in Williamsville. What's going on, Frank?
So, you know, these trades aren't as big as they used to be, I don't think, in any of the sports, especially the NBA, especially around here. But because, frankly, I don't follow the NBA at all. I don't even know if I can name two players in the NBA. But when I was a kid, we had those little sticker leaves for every NHL and every NBA team. I had every player in the thing. Just they don't market them there because they don't market them like that because they're not here anymore. Which is but to the Gretzky thing, when Gretzky was traded, that was just like a bomb that went off. I mean, I think looking back at my fandom life as a fan of any sport, I totally underestimated Gretzky looking back at him. I don't know what, when I was a kid, I should have known. You know, when I was a kid, it was in the 80s. Like you guys were talking about before, his stats are incredible. It's like he's a Babe Ruth of baseball. And we're so familiar with him because you see him on TV, even now. You realize what we had when we had it. Because he was just unbelievable. Lastly, as far as the fighting goes, the fighting hockey, it's so important that we still talk about it like how many years later. And it's not so much the fighting. Anyone can dance around for a few minutes with their helmets on and their gloves, which is ridiculous. That's not even fighting, if you ask me. The thing about it is, it's the hitting. That's when the violence in hockey is felt by the other team. And that's where you put your vengeance and your fury into the other team, and which would make them play afraid because they don't want to go on the board and get drilled by you because everyone knows that you're going to get drilled by them. So I'm a little long today, but I just want to say,
Yep.
Thanks for everything.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks, Frank. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that. Looking back, I was wrong. Don Luce was not involved in that trade with the Sabres. So it was December 2nd, 1981. The Sabres traded Bob Sauvé, Jim Schoenfeld, and Derek Smith to the Detroit Red Wings for Mike Foligno, Dale McCourt, and Brent Peterson. Okay. This was, and I have to go back and look at the Garrett trade now because this was a different one. So in 81, Sauvé, Schoenfeld, and Derek Smith go to the Red Wings for Mike Foligno, Dale McCourt, and Brent Peterson. I'd say actually worked out pretty well for the Buffalo Sabres there, to be honest with you. Let's go to Danny Garrix. What was his trade? His trade was also to Detroit, I believe. Let me get this here. No, that was Gare. Okay, Gare, Sauvé, Schoenfeld, Smith for Foligno, McCourt, and Peterson. There was another one in the 80s with Detroit. I'm not even talking about the, Hashik going later. There was another one there. All right, let's go to Rick in Boston who's got one. Hi, Rick. Go ahead. You're on WGR.
How are you, Sal?
Good, thank you.
When I was in high school or junior high school, I got enamored with this guy who was 7 foot tall playing at Power Memorial by the name of Lou Alcindor. And I followed his whole career at UCLA, and I just thought he was the most amazing basketball player. He gets drafted number one by the Milwaukee Bucks. They go, and they win 2 straight NBA championships, and all of a sudden trade him to the hated Los Angeles Lakers. I was crestfallen. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough when you're a kid and you have that investment. Thanks, Rick, for the phone call. All right, I found the other one. My apologies. It wasn't a big deal, but I remember. Here it is. In 1986, Rick Seeling was dealt from the Sabres to the Red Wings for unknown compensation. Sorry, was not a very big deal coming back, but I liked Rick Seeling, even though the Sabres took him ahead of Mike freaking Bossy in the NHL draft in like 1979 or whatever it was. I don't know, 76 or whatever. I remember that part as well. Hunter in Buffalo. Hi, Hunter. You're on WGR.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good, thanks, buddy.
For having me on the show. Yeah. I'm basically just talking about 2 trades. The first trade I was really young when it happened was Ryan Miller. I loved watching Ryan Miller, and I kind of liked the return back was all right. Then the next one was Sam Reinhart. I was very upset about that trade and the way he didn't get a good contract at all. And I didn't really like the return back, but I'm starting to. But it just really upset me because I knew how good Reinhart was.
Yeah, for sure. I got you, man. Yeah, no doubt. And I think you sound like you're obviously a little bit younger than me, and those are the trades that impact you emotionally attached to some of these players even now when the team's not even winning, right? I mean, sometimes you think these teams like the Dallas Mavericks, the LA Lakers, think about that. These are winning organizations, winning teams. The Lakers are actually playing really good basketball right now. I mean, Dallas just recently won an NBA title. It's crazy. Right? I mean, when did Dallas list of...
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy 2 and get 3 free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit 3 free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound.
limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass avocados, 77 cents each, limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, just 2 years ago, when did Luka won one, right? A couple of years ago, was it? When did Dallas win it? They're the defending champs last year. There you go. They're the defending champs. Thank you. Just won it last year. Just incredible to think about that. All right. So I just said the Rick Sealing one, the Sabres. I keep talking about the Sabres. Remember, too, I know the guys are talking about it today. Remember when Kiko Alonso for LaShawn McCoy happened? And like that just came out of nowhere. Now we do have internet then. And I'm going to tell you that story. I was on the air. I was filling in for what was then called the John Murphy Show before it became One Bills Live. And it was a nighttime show back then, Josh. We used to have the John Murphy Show on late at night and I would fill in for Murph once in a while. So I'm on the air filling in for Murph. And I remember, I think the show went from 7 to 9 p.m. if I remember right. I think it was 7 to 9. I get off the air at 9, and I'm telling you, at 9:01 that trade was announced. And I still think to this day they didn't want it announced while Bills fans were listening to a Bills-themed radio show locally. Like, it was like, we're going to let this settle overnight. But maybe I'm wrong. I just didn't know. I mean, totally different regime back then, but I bet you, I always thought they didn't want it announced literally while people are listening and they could call up and be mad about it or maybe happy. I don't know. They just traded Kiko Alonso, but they got LaShawn McCoy. That was a big one. That was like, there was nothing leading up to that we knew about. Let's go to Shane on a cell. Hi, Shane.
Hey, I love following you on YouTube and Twitter.
Thank you.
So a few years back, I was going into surgery, and I was playing on my phone, and news broke that the Bills had got Antonio Brown. And probably 10 seconds later, the nurse came in and said, I got to take your phone. You're going into surgery. And I was so excited. I was so happy. And I woke up. And I was so groggy, and I was asking my wife, and she's like, what are you talking about? And nobody could explain to me what happened, partly because I was probably under the medication, sure. And I just couldn't fathom what was going on. It was the most confusing day of my life, and that's my favorite trade to remember. My wife was furious with me.
Wow, that is amazing. I'll tell you what happened to me, and I'm not proud of saying this, but I actually did not have my phone on that night, and I never got the alert. And it happens once in a while. I always keep my phone on. For some reason that night, I don't know what I was doing, and I turned my ringer off, and I never turned it back on. So when the Bills traded for Antonio Brown, allegedly, or people thought, I mean, I had gone to bed early. Something had happened that night, and I'm not, believe me, I take responsibility. I should have been awake and alert, but I'm actually glad I wasn't. And I never got woken up because Brian Koziol had texted me during a Sabres game, like, hey, do you want to come on and talk about this? I never got the text until later, like the next morning. I'm like, what's going on? Antonio Brown, what? By then, the trade was not happening. I actually am really glad I did not get informed it was happening, allegedly, before that. So it was just one of those random ones where I'm like, random nights where I turn my ringer off. Watching on the TV right now, they're talking about the Myles Garrett news. In case you're just tuning in to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, Myles Garrett has requested a trade from the Cleveland Browns. This is not a report. This is Myles Garrett going on social media, posting a letter or whatever that says, I want to be traded from the Cleveland Browns. Like, this is not a report from an insider that he wants to be traded. This is the guy saying he wants to be traded. And they're talking about it. I'm watching the TV above me. This TV's got to be about 30 inches or so. I bought what size TV? Do you have a big screen TV at your house, Josh? What do you got?
I think it's, actually don't know. It's okay. Big, but I don't know what size it is. It's between 50 and 60, I think.
Okay, well, we've had a 55-incher in our living room for quite a while. And for no reason other than I just want a bigger TV. I said, I want a bigger TV soon. I'm watching all these TVs. Every time I go to these big box stores, I look and they have these great TVs with these great colors. And I'm like, I want one of those. And TV prices aren't bad these days. They're really not, right? So I told Yana, my wife, I'm like, hey, next you have, I said, in like 11 months for Christmas next year, I think that's a big purchase. So maybe let's think about how we want to, where we want to put it and position it, you know, compared to now, if it could go into the same spot. So she said to me last week, she goes, Sal, if you really want to do it during Super Bowl week. That's when all the sales come out for the big TVs. Just do it now. So, of course, because my wife is a lot smarter than me, I'm like, that's exactly right. So that's what we did yesterday. I went, and I'll be honest, I am just awful at making these decisions. I'm so awful. So we go to buy the TV, and I walk in, and I went to Schmam Schmub, because they had, you know, a bunch of them, and then went to Schmarget, and I know, I'm saying that I don't want to give, I'm not like doing an ad or endorsement for these places. So going to a few different places, look online at places. But anyway, standing in there, and I'm looking at the 55, the 60, the 65, holy crap, there's an 85, there's an 86 incher, like this is amazing. And you just look at the, how do you fit that in your house, right? But I am so bad at making the decision. Then I look, OLED, QLD, ED. I don't know. Is it what QLED, OLED, whatever it is, UHD. I should know these things. I don't. There's just too many of these things now. Too many acronyms, Josh. And I'm like, which one do I go with? Look at the price. Well, this one's got this warranty. I get paralyzed. I am the definition of a big purchase like this of paralysis by analysis. And my wife's like, does it really matter? They're all like, they're all good and the same. I'm like, I guess it doesn't matter. I'm not really sure. So we went from a 55 to a 60. I now have a 60, which is really nice. And I didn't really notice how big it was till I went downstairs today and it was off. But it's sitting there. I'm like, wow, that's a big TV, man. You know what I mean? But I didn't know which one to get. And I get so confused. I just wanted somebody to tell me, that's the one that's the best, Sal. That's the best for the price. That's on me to figure out. And I hate doing that.
Yeah, no, it's always tough, too, because you read through the reviews and everyone's like, oh, well, I like this, but I didn't like this. And then I like that, but I didn't like this. And it's like,
the one we got had great reviews. You're right. The only bad reviews really came from like the delivery. And I'm like, well, I'm not getting it delivered.
Right. Yeah.
Which posed another problem. So Max had hockey yesterday. We had all his hockey equipment and I have an SUV. I did not realize how big the darn TV was to get in the car. And we had to pull everything out, try to fit it in, and then put everything back in. And then where are we all going to sit? I mean, it was a challenge. That part of it, I didn't even think about. Like, how am I getting this thing home?
I used to work at a place where I would have to load these TVs sometimes.
I don't have a pickup truck. I have an SUV.
There were people that would show up with little sedans and buy a 70-inch TV and then try to load it in the back of their trunk. And I'm like, guys, I can't do that. That doesn't work. You can't bend this TV or else it'll break and you'll blame me.
Well, actually, and I can do this because I do endorse them. Thank God I have my Sorento from Northtown. There you go. Because I put all the seats down that could go down, right? And we were able to make it work, but we were able to do it. That's my Sorento from Northtown. Hey, thank you. That Northtown Automotive on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Helping me out there. I didn't think about that part of it. I am paralysis by analysis with all these big decisions. Anyway, we went from a 55 to a 60 only because I'm like, I just want a new TV. Looks cool. Every time I go to these stores, these TVs are big. The colors are great. I want to watch sports on them. My wife's like, do it before the Super Bowl. Yeah, you're right. Some good deals out there. So that's what I did. 803-0550. Come on back. We'll talk a little bit more about these trades that wound up happening. And I'm sorry, these trades that happened that may have impacted you over the years. And also, maybe we should dig in on Myles Garrett and what the Bills could or should or should or shouldn't do to try and acquire the superstar defensive end who has requested a trade from the Cleveland Browns.
Trades don't happen at the smallest level without stuff getting out. And Rob and I were able to have really intense conversations over the course of 3 or 4 weeks that started out as a coffee that, you know, was more, hey, would you ever? I don't know. Would I? Let me think of, you know, and then it built upon that. And we kept it between us. We had to. We had to keep it tight. J. Kidd didn't know about it. But J. Kidd and I are aligned and we talk about archetypes and we talk about the culture that we want to create. So I know the type of players that he likes without actually talking to him. Hey, would you like, you know, so I know that. And J.K. coached them when they won a championship. So I think when you're aligned with your coach like that, I know the type of players that he likes. And so I felt good about it making sense to where we're trying to go.
What is his name? Nico Harrison, I believe, is the GM of the... Let me get his name right. I think it's Nico Harrison, Mavericks GM. But this was the press conference he had yesterday, sitting next to Jason Kidd. And there you go. Who is the GM of the Mariners? Nico Harrison. I got it right. Thank you. He was sitting next to Jason Kidd, and yeah, you could tell, like, he didn't, they said he didn't talk to him about it, didn't know. Jason Kidd said he was on board with it. Very interesting, right? Good debate going on social media right now. What would it take to get Myles Garrett? Sigmund Bloom says maybe three firsts. Think a playoff team would do that? I'm going to respond and say I think maybe that would be too much. Two ones and more, maybe a swap of swap mid-round and or player, I'm going to say right now.
I mean, Adam Schefter brought up the Khalil Mack trade from when when he was traded from Chicago to, or from Oakland to Chicago. The Bears traded two first-round picks, a third-round pick, and a sixth-round pick for Mack and a second-round pick and a conditional fifth.
Yep, there you go. I like that. I think it's more of a probably two ones, and then we figure out other swaps of picks where people are, you know, getting something they like or not like or whatever, and then maybe a player involved as well. Let's get to Paul and Charlotte talking about some trades in your life that were that hit real hard in some way, shape, or form. Go ahead, Paul.
As a kid, I was a big LaMonica fan, we traded Daryl LaMonica and Glenn Bass to the Raiders for Tom Flores and Art Powell, and that devastated me.
Yeah, I've heard people talk about that in the past with a Bills trade like that. No doubt the Bills... I was at the premiere, the event of the unbelievable movie that happened on Saturday. And I have a small part in the movie, my voice, I'm an announcer, but they asked me to be a part of it. I was on stage, I helped introduce people. They had a bunch of Bills alumni there. And Greg Tranter, who is a pro football historian and researcher, I think maybe from Buffalo, I think so, but either way, he was up on stage and he was giving some history. He actually gave a really interesting anecdote about how Ed Rutkowski, who was there, Ed Rutkowski says he had a big hand in the Bills drafting both O.J. Simpson and Jim Kelly. Like, what? And basically the story goes, towards the end of whatever season, 66, 67, whatever it was, 68 it was, I think. The Bills were terrible, and they had, like, them and the Eagles were going to have, who was going to have the number one pick in the league. And the Bills are about to win a game against the Raiders, and they would have not had the number one pick if they win the game. And apparently Ed Rutkowski was going in for a touchdown, and he fumbled. The Bills lost. They wind up getting the number one pick. That becomes O.J. Simpson. So they get O.J. because of that, where they otherwise wouldn't. And then later, and Greg's telling the story. I'm trying to recount it because I didn't know this. I knew part of this. The second part I kind of knew, but I didn't know the genesis of the beginning of it. But so they get O.J., because they become the worst team in the league thanks to the fumble of Ed Rutkowski. And then O.J. later gets traded to the Niners at the end of, you know, 79, 80, right in there. And as part of that trade, the Bills get a draft pick, a number one pick. They take Tom Cousineau. They had the number one pick in the draft. Well, Tom Cousineau refused to play for the Bills. Ohio State linebacker. He actually went to Canada to play instead. A few years later, he wanted to play for the Bills. This is Greg Tranter telling the story. I'm just relaying it, okay? So give him credit. So the Bills trade O.J. to the Niners. You get the first overall pick. They take Tom Cousineau. You following this, Josh? Tom Cousineau doesn't want to play for the Bills. He goes to Canada to play. A few years later, he says, I want to come back and play in the NFL. Bill still held his rights. It's like, well, we don't want you to play for us, and he didn't want to play for the Bills still. So they traded those rights to Cleveland Browns for a first-round pick. That first-round pick became Jim Kelly. So the story went, as Greg was telling it, Ed Rutkowski, by virtue of the fumble against the Raiders at the end of the 1968 season, because he fumbled, the Bills got the number one pick and got O.J., and because they got O.J. and later traded him for a pick that became Tom Cousineau, that became Jim Kelly. Ed Rutkowski is responsible for the Bills having both O.J. and Jim Kelly. Ed Rutkowski. Wow. Crazy story, though, right?
Yeah,
it's a butterfly effect for sure. I mean, anything can happen, but it is interesting.
Those are fun, though, like looking down trade trees and things like that.
What was the trade tree we looked at a while ago? There was
Gretzky. Gretzky's trade tree. Because there's like a ton of things that are still happening today.
Of course, they're always going to happen.
Because of the Gretzky trade. There's picks that have affected picks that have affected players and like everything.
And Stanley Cups.
Yeah, right. Like there's players currently in the NHL that are on their teams because of Wayne Gretzky. That's one of my favorite trade treats to go down. But it is, I tried to do it one time. I tried to like run the whole thing down. It's it's like impossible. You can't go through the whole thing. There's like 20 levels to it. And it, like I said, it's still going on. There's still players that are not retired yet that are affected by that trade.
Listen, there were a couple of trades. Here's one that went under the radar. When the Sabres traded, who did they get? They got Chris Gratton for Brian Holzinger, Wayne Primeau, Corey Sarich, and a third-round pick. This was a big deal. I remember back in 2000, they were trying to get it done. And then they traded Chris Gratton for Danny Briere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's also one, Chris Drury's trade tree is pretty interesting,
okay,
too. If you go down, I think he might actually be somehow tied into the Gretzky one. There's something there where he was involved with another player that was involved with a Gretzky trade player. Like, it was, again, there's so many different players touched by the Wayne Gretzky trade because of how big it was and how many pieces were involved in it.
Yeah, there was another one. The Sabres made a couple of deals right at the deadline one year. And I can't remember who it was, and they were trying. They were like, I'm like, oh my God, they're going for it, right? This is late. Let's see, was Donald Audette involved in one of these? He might have been. I can't remember for sure. They get Sabres get Audette. This is 99. No, okay. In 2001. Yeah, I can't remember exactly. There was another trade they made. Like, there was a couple deadline deals they made back in the late 90s, early 2000. Like, oh my God, they're kind of going for it now.
Do you remember a player named Michael Wilson?
Yes.
You know who he was traded for? He was traded to the Panthers on March 23rd.
He was traded to the Florida Panthers.
Okay, sorry.
I remember he was traded to the Florida Panthers. It wasn't Rhett Warner.
It was.
Okay.
Do you know what else was involved in that?
That's good. I'm glad I got that. Yes, there was somebody else, somebody very good at...
It was a draft pick. I will say that.
Oh, the draft pick became... What year was it?
99.
Ryan Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Miller, that's right. Yep. They acquired Ryan Miller with that draft pick.
Yes. Yeah, that was, I mean, that's a big, I don't really personally know who Michael Wilson is because it's a little.
Yeah, I remember him. Time. He played, yeah, he was a defenseman, I believe, correct? Is it a defenseman? Is it right there? Okay.
It doesn't.
I think he was. Let's go to another call on this. Let's go to Ed on a cell. Hi, Ed.
Hello, hey. Brother.
Yep, go ahead, buddy.
I love the hockey trades. When we brought in Korab back in the day, I remember his like beginning of his career, and actually Roger Crozier from Detroit. But a couple that stuck in my mind was like, I don't know if you remember Doug Smith from the Kings.
Yes, you know what I love about this. Go ahead. I'm
remember
sorry.
The speed, yeah, the breakaways.
Can I also tell you something great about that trade? Doug Smith gets traded. He plays, I believe, the Rangers. His first shift, he scores a goal for the Sabres.
Yeah, no, I know. And then Jeff Cortnell, same thing. I think he like was on fire his first five games. I hate to say it, but I don't know. I just got on the just driving now. Anyone mention the Biscuit Cornelius Bennett trade?
Sure. Yeah. I was talking about that earlier. Yeah, for sure.
That was amazing.
Do you remember the Kings and Sabres trade for Doug Smith? You remember who else was involved there?
Listen, no, I don't know. No,
okay, I'm going to give you the names, and you're going to say, holy cow, that's right. The Sabres got Doug Smith and Brian Engblom. Remember Brian Engblom?
Right? Oh, nice career, right?
They traded away Ken Baumgartner, Sean McKenna, and Larry Playfair.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's right. Playfair stayed with the Kings for a while.
Fight. Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. Sean McKenna, he was the number one pick, one of those three number ones that year, I think, Sear, him, and but
I was a big Paul Sear fan myself, by the way. I like number 18.
He had a great shot.
He had a great slap shot. Couldn't Bowman. Hit the broadside of a barn, but it was great.
Thanks. That was Bowman. Remember those drafts?
I do.
He drafted right out of high school. Housley and Barrasso, I think.
Yeah, Sear, Tucker, Andrew Chuck, for sure. Yeah. Hey, thanks, Ed. Good trip down memory lane. I appreciate you doing that and bringing that to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We're going to take a timeout right here. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show. If you have anything else you want to say on trades that impacted you, we could take another call or two. Also, any thoughts on whether or not the Bills should be involved in the Myles Garrett trade stuff and how much you'd give up? We could do that as well here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Monday on WGR. All right, we got a lot done today. I need to kind of like, someone said, Sal, look up the Rick Martin tree. That's the one I think people talk about a lot, right?
I was just looking at that.
Yeah, thank you. By the way, thank you who tweeted me that. That is from Sean, And, of course, that is getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Sean says the Rick Martin tree, that is the one that keeps growing a lot for the Sabres, right?
Yeah, there's another one, too. Somebody brought up Jerry Korab earlier. Jerry Korab was traded to the Kings in exchange for the pick that was used to pick Phil Housley, who was then traded to the Jets to take Dale Hawerchuk.
Yeah, so somebody else asked me, and I'm going to tell everybody this. This is a secret, all right? It's a secret in the broadcasting industry. Don't tell anybody I told you. I'm just going to tell you on the radio. It's got to be between us. No, I'm just trying to help everybody out here because I got a question here from Maddie. Listening to the show at work, wondering if you know if there's anywhere online to look at trade trees like you were talking about. Will be fascinating to just look at the effects certain trades had. Well, the trade trees, I don't know. But Maddie, I will tell you, you can go to something called NHLTradeTracker.com. It has every trade in history for every team, and you can sort and filter it. It's awesome. Do you ever see this? It's called NHLTradeTracker.com.
I was just on that site. But
it's a great, great site.
I just found the Rick Martin trade tree, and it is massive.
It's still going today, right?
It's crazy. Yeah, there's Aaron Hughlin, Steven Sardarian. Those two guys are still in the Sabres system, and
wow,
they were influenced by this trade. Ryan Miller was influenced by this trade. Jay McKee. Like, all Chris Drury's in here. Colin Miller. Like, some recent names, too. Will Carrier, Chris Stewart, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. There's a lot of people in this trade tree that are from the Rick Martin trade.
Yeah, this is
crazy.
There's been some big ones. We had a big one the other day. We had Anthony Davis going to the Dallas Mavericks in return for Luka Doncic, which I still can't believe. And then we had another NBA trade. What was the other one that happened? De'Aaron Fox?
De'Aaron Fox San Antonio.
Like, if you don't get the Doncic trade, isn't that like an unbelievable blockbuster massive trade that doesn't happen every, like that's like something every few years, right? That's one of those two.
That one had, I'm going to check here for sure, but I think it had three first rounders in it. Like, the final trade for De'Aaron Fox included. Oh, yeah, here we go. Sacramento gets Zach LaVine, City Cisco. I don't think I'm pronouncing his name correctly. But and then a first-round pick in 25, a first-round pick in 27, a first-round pick in 31, and then three second-round picks as well. And then the Chicago Bulls also get a first-round pick and Zach Collins.
And now we're talking about Myles Garrett on the trade block. He has requested a trade, not a report. Myles Garrett has put it out there. He wants to be traded from the Cleveland Browns. Let's have some fun with that as we roll along in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show the rest of this week. In the meantime, Sabres Live up next, and it's One Bills Live and Show up in the Bulldog. Have a great Monday on WGR.